Welcome to another podcast of Revival Today with Pastor Mark Chope, where our arms are opened and Jesus Christ is here to comfort and bless you.
How many of us came to receive something from God this morning? Hallelujah. This is a reason for the season is to receive from the Lord and to receive strength from God. That's why you're here this morning. You're not here to look at one another. You're here to give God perfect praise. You're not here because you just wanted to show up this morning. You're here because you needed deliverance. That's why we're here. And we're here because God is worthy of all the praise. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now God is in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to turn, and my message today is, in me, you shall have peace. Everything about Christ is about understanding that in him you have peace. Our world is full of turmoil and our daily lives are full of conflict. This is what's going on in the world today. And a lot of times we don't know where peace is coming from because we're looking for it in the wrong things. But God promises people a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what I want to talk about today. That God promised a peace that surpasses all understanding. We're going through a holiday season right now, and people have been shopping and getting gifts and trying to show their love to their family members and friends. But we have lost the reason for the season. We have lost the understanding that this is all about Christ. This season is all about understanding what he was all about and what his purpose was for humanity. The purpose of Christ and for humanity was to bring peace and bring it more abundantly. It wasn't for us to become formal or have form of fashion, but yet he said there was going to be a time in your life where somebody was going to need peace. There was going to be a time in your life where you were going to need something to give you strength in the midnight hour. And that something is Jesus. That something is Jesus. So God promised his people a peace that surpasses all understanding. If you look in Luke 2nd chapter in the 14th verse, it says, glory to God the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. This was God's promise. He says, peace and goodwill towards man. But if you look at what's going on right now in society, does it feel like it's peaceful? Does it feel like people are getting along? No, it doesn't. And the reason why is because today in society, we're not looking for peace. Instead, we're trying to have our own way, do our own thing, and operate without Christ. It is nice that we come into the house of God to lift him up. But if you don't have him within your heart, guess what? You're going to go throughout your life without peace. You're going to find yourself moving throughout your day saying, I know of Jesus, but I don't know how to use him right. And this is what's going on in society today, is that we're all so religious and we're all so caught up in things that seem to be all formality. But God said, do you know him? Do you know the man Jesus? Do you understand why he came in the manger on this earth so that we may have life and have it more abundantly? Not so that you will get a gift, not so that you get a present, but the present that God has promised you was life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Somebody give God some praise. That you have life more abundantly. The Bible says in Matthew 8:22, it says, and Jesus said unto them that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Regardless of what you think about, Jesus came. He was the Son of God. And when he made it here on earth, guess what? He had nowhere to lay his head. He was already in turmoil, and I'm going to go into that this morning because I want to share something with you. A lot of times we think about Jesus, and we think about what Jesus has done, but we don't even realize what God what Jesus had to go through just to fulfill the promise of God. We don't even realize that Jesus, not only was he born in a manger, but it says in the beginning that when he came, the enemy was already here trying to start trouble. He might have came as an innocent child, but the devil knew that Jesus was more than just an innocent child. He was part of promise. So if you turn with me to Matthew 8 chapter and the 20th verse, it says here, and it says, Jesus said unto him, let's go down to Luke, the first chapter, 5 and 16. I'm going to set this up, and I'm going to talk about family and how we are as families. Don't you know that God had designed the family for a reason? You have relatives, and you have kin, and you have friends and family, and the enemy doesn't want you to work together. But I'm going to show you a little story how God operates. I was talking about how God set up the scene for Christ to arrive. And I want to show you here. It says in Luke 5, 16, it says in the 5th, it says, there was in the day of Herod the king a certain priest named Zechariah. And I'm going to skip there. And it says, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, when we think about this season, we always talk about how Jesus was in a manger, but there was something that happened before Jesus even came on scene. So in the next verse, in the 6th verse, it says, and they were both righteous before God. So it says that Elizabeth and Zacharias was righteous before God. Someone say righteous before God. Walking in all his commandments and ordinance of the Lord's blameless. So they walked before the Lord blameless. And then in the 7th verse it says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in age. So right here the Bible is saying that Elizabeth was barren and she couldn't have any children. And they were old in age. I'm setting up something here. So they both were not looking towards having a child at this time. All right, so and then it says in the 8th verse, it says, and it came to pass, okay, it says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, it says in the 11th verse, it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And then the 12th says, it says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. I'm going somewhere with this story this morning. So Zacharias seen an angel, and an angel came unto Zacharias saying that your wife is going to receive a child. Now, this is what happened before Jesus came on scene. A lot of times, everyone celebrate Jesus, but we don't realize that God was doing a work in the family. Say work in the family. So Zacharias hears this. He sees an angel, and it says in 12, and Zacharias saw him, and he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. And it said, but the angel said unto him, fear not, for thy prayers is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So the angel came to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a child, and you're going to call his name John. He was fearful because of what he's seen, because the angel came out of nowhere and was talking to him. And so he was like shooken up. You know how we get when we see something we never seen before? So out of nowhere, angel appeared before him. And the reason why the angel appeared before him, because he was righteous and he had a blameless life. See, I'm going somewhere with this. A lot of times we want to see God and be used by God, but we're not righteous and we're not blameless. We want to shout in the presence of God, but we don't want to be righteous and blameless. But everything that God does is through his will. And the only way to be in the will of Jesus is to walk in righteousness. Someone say, walk in righteousness. And it says in the 14th chapter, it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness and shall rejoice at his birth. Now, many of shall be rejoicing at the birth of John the Baptist. See, now that birth sounds like Jesus. But no, this birth here that I'm talking about is John the Baptist. Now, you want to know why the devil don't want you to work with your family members or get along? Because there's a seed of promise that is in the house. God has something that he's already promised the world, and he's trying to bring through your bloodline. See, God knows, but also the enemy knows. So where's the enemy going to attack? He's going to attack the household. He's going to take away your faith and take away your understanding. He's going to take away your belief so that now your generational seed is going to be cursed because it's not going to reach its full potential. So that's why it's hard to live right or act right, especially family members, hard to get along. It's hard to get along because your first church is supposed to be your family. Amen. Give God some praise right there. Now check this out. This is what God said about all this. He said after Zacharias heard all this and heard that his wife was going to bear a son, it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So somebody was excited about his birth. But it says in the 15, it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now check this out. It says that John the Baptist, I'm not talking about Jesus. Yeah, we're getting there. It said that John the Baptist was going to be great in his sight. How many of you want to be great in the sight of God? You can't be great in the sight of God if you keep on letting your flesh get in the way of the will of God. Our flesh is getting in the way of the will of God, and then we cry out to God every midnight hour saying, Lord, help me. He said, I've been trying to help you, but your flesh is in the way of my will. How is your flesh in the way of the will of God? It's because when he tells you to apologize to your family members, you won't. When he tells you to get along with your own husband and wife, you won't. When he tells you to love your brother and sister, you won't. But the Bible says, how can you love God whom you do not see and hate your brother who you do see? God is saying that there should be peace on earth, but the problem is there's no peace on earth because there's no peace in the family. There's no peace in the household of God, and God is sick of it. People aren't going to get to glory until they realize that they have to learn to love their very own brother that's in their own household and know how to lift him up in time of need. See, even this story that I'm going with you is telling you how Jesus needed somebody to set the way for his coming. How about you? Are you that somebody that's setting the way for the coming of God? What we do is we take every doctrine, we take every little belief that somebody told us in our ear, and we hold on to that rather than holding on to Jesus' hand, and rather than holding on to the word of God and knowing that he is trying to make you. He is not trying to break you. You will never reach your full potential. Somebody said, reach my full potential. See, you're not going to reach your full potential until you realize that God is saying, come together as one and follow his plan, and then you shall see him. Now, at the end of the scripture, this is what is really important. Now, check this out. John the Baptist said, the angel said all this to Zacharias, but it says here in the 15th verse, and it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine, nor strong drink, and he shall be full of the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. I just hit something. You should not, he said that John the Baptist, this is not even Jesus, it said that he said, he shall not drink no strong drink. See, this is what God was telling the parents. God told the parents, listen, this is how he's going to be, because he's going to be used by me. He's going to be a powerful man of God. And so the angel was telling him, said, listen, he's not going to touch any strong drink. He's not going to dabble in the world. But what he's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, somebody. See, we want our kids to be great at the sports, but we're not trying to make them full of the Holy Ghost. We're not trying to raise them up in the will of God. Instead, we want to make sure they make every basketball camp. We want to make sure they make every skating team. Instead of realizing, is he going to be honorable before God? So God told him, hey, he's not to touch any strong drink. This is where the church is messing up, because know what we do? Oh, they just young. Just let them do something. Let them go and do something now. Let them get in a little something, something. Let them hang out a little bit on that corner. The devil is waiting to get in the way of promise. The devil is waiting to steal your family promise. He's already trying to mess with your seed and your bosom. That's what the enemy is trying to do. Some of you have been called from the womb, and the enemy is trying to mess up the will of God. Guess what? You're not going to see stardom outside of Christ. Because the Bible says only what you do for Christ will last. Hallelujah. Somebody give God the praise. Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. So what we need to understand is that God is saying, get out of the way, parents. Your seed is blessed. Oh, come on now. He said, get out of the way. Your seed is blessed. We're so busy trying to make them comfortable. Oh, well, come on, son, you don't have to go to church today. My father was a bishop, and he didn't make deals with me. He made sure I was on the football team and I was on the track team, went to the movies, had fun. I endorsed these things. But also he said, wherever you go, you need to live saved. He said, if you're going to say the word Jesus, you got to mean the word Jesus. You got to live the word Jesus. This is what's wrong. We're trying to make deals with our children, not knowing that the enemy is on the way, in the background, looking at your seed, ready to spoil it. And God is saying, I'm trying to bring greatness in your household. Now, think about it. When you look at Hollywood, they have all the money. They're the most beautiful and talented people. But why is it that they're strung out in drugs? Whitney Houston knew, and she knew that she needed to chase after the Lord. But she got all the wealth and all the success. But her life still was lost. And when you look at her life, you also see that her child's life was lost. And it happened, young people, because somebody made a deal with the enemy and said, you know what? I want this wealth at all cost. So when I'm talking about Jesus, he said, I'm coming that you have life and have it more abundantly. When you talk about Jesus, he said, I come that there may be peace on earth and goodwill to all men. So where does peace start? In your household. Where does peace start? In your family. You cannot get peace if you don't bring that family together and say, yes, we're going to have fun in this house, but yeah, also we're going to bring peace that surpasses all understanding. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Peace that surpasses all understanding works like this. It means that you can't understand why you're still okay. In the midst of the fire, in the midst of trouble, you can't understand why you're still able to say, yes, Lord. In the midst of your agony, you still can say, Lord, you're an awesome God. Hallelujah. This is a peace that God has promised. Somebody is waiting on peace. Somewhere, somebody is waiting on joy. Somewhere. And guess what, church? Like they used to saying, we need to get right, church, and go home. Guess what? Get right, church, and go back home and act right. That, come on, give God some praise. We are too busy trying to be different, trying to have our own identity, rather than realizing that God has already established his will in your seed. He already established his will in your seed. And it says here, so what it said, he said he will neither have strong drink or wine, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I love that. He's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. We try to tone it down. Oh, well, you don't need to be that saved. Matter of fact, you're a little bit too saved. Why ain't you out there trying some of the drugs and sleeping around? Why ain't you out there just, you see, when you live life where you're not settled and established, that goes into your next generation. That goes into your family. That goes into your household. So every man that's just sleeping all around all time, they'll always, what they'll call a woman if they do it, is another word. But the men are doing it too. And what you don't realize, a habit that you indulge in is going to be hard to break later. So you young women that want a good man, you need to really call on Jesus and ask him for direction. Because guess what? That man hopping and bopping and stopping and showing up here and there is going to do the same to your household. So what you need and what we need, even from the mother's womb, is the Holy Ghost. See, so I love this because it said, guess what, John? Guess what, Zacharias? You're going to have a son, but guess what? He's going to live right. He's going to do right. And make sure he's not drinking. What we do is, well, you're almost 21, son. You better go out there and get some alcohol and liquor. When I was 21, I never touched it. I didn't need to. My cousins knew I wasn't going to the club. I was going to the house of God. When I was a teenager, I wasn't going to the club. I was going to the house of God. See, a lot of pastor kids run from the church because we over-church them. It's like water in this plant. Don't you know if you put water in this plant, and if you overwater it, what will happen? It will drown. We think that we're watering our children with the word of God, but we're drowning them. This is why God said you need to have wisdom. You have to have balance with everything. So when your kid says to you, well, I want to go to a movie, don't be like, well, you don't need to be going to a movie. You need to be going to church. We had a sister in the church every time me and my cousin would go over to the house and we're trying to pick up her daughter to go to the movie or something. We always had to sneak in and come up with something. And we were living right too. But we're like, nah, we can't tell her because you know she's going to be yelling at us. So we would go in the house and say, hey, is she ready? We're going to just go. Yeah, well, where y'all going? We're like, yeah, we're going out. Y'all ain't going out clubbing or nothing, are you? No, we're not. And then she would just always hound us, and we were like, one day we just said, we're going to movies. She's like, y'all ain't going to no movies. Y'all don't belong in no movies. And every single time we went by, that's what would happen. So no, we started doing calling up. Hey, we stopping by. You better run out because we don't want to have to deal with it. Kids are creative. Is that right? So they got a plan. Now they have Texans, so they don't have to do that. They're like, we got the message. We'll be there. See, so what it said is he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Now, the reason why it's so hard today is because no one's full of the Holy Ghost. Nobody wants to live right. But don't you know, your living right will bring success in your household and in your family. Give God some praise. I'm almost done. And it says, and many of the children of Israel shall he return to the Lord their God. Now let's go to Luke 1:26-28. And this is the New King James Version. So those that are looking and see some word changes, that's why. But remember, I try to preach the gospel so that everyone understands it. Many people came to Jesus and said, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? You remember that? We want to go, thus and thou. I was on TV watching them do a church service, and the priest was sitting there, and they were doing in all these different languages, and they weren't doing nothing but hitting chimes. I was like, are they singing or are they, what are they doing? And I'm like, no wonder nobody going to church. I don't even know the language. But we're so caught up in formality. You know, the youth are what? The church, that's how you're going to grow. If there's no youth in the church, then you're not going to grow. We only been here 2 years. Look what God has done. Give God some praise in the house. Okay, I'm going to end this soon. I know it's Christmas. Some of y'all want to get to that dinner. I know Christmas is tomorrow, so let's get ready for it. So right here, this is what happened for Jesus. Now, the next part of this is just setting us up for what happened with Jesus. And I'm not going to keep you long now. Elder, can you read that part? It's going to be from Luke, the first chapter, 26-28. See, so right here, we're setting up for Jesus now. Now, you see what happened with Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. Now let's see what happened with Jesus. Go ahead. The sixth month, it said the angel. What happened there on the sixth month? Go ahead again. See, now right there, it said the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Someone said, thou art highly favored. So this is why when you're going through in your life, in your family's life, why you're losing favor with God. Because before God really is going to use you, you need to be what? Say with me. Again. So highly favored means you need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to the will of God. Your success, everything that you are, and for your children are going to come from you being highly favored. So the angel of the Lord came unto to Mary and said, you got to be, I'm ready to bless you because you are highly favored. Young people, you think about it. You are highly favored. All you young people, you are highly favored. So when your friends call you up and say, oh, wow, you know, I'm on a corner out here and we're going to be kicking it. We're going to be smoking that marijuana. You got to know that you're highly favored. And God is trying to do something with your life, and the enemy wants to spoil it. And see, you see what I'm saying? And you know, none of us grow up and say, I want to be addicted to drugs. How many people do you know sit up there in elementary and say, they say, what do you want to do with your life? Most of them say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. But how about say, I want to be a child of God? That's what we got to teach our children. But none of them say, oh, I want to be addicted to drugs. None of them say, I want to be strung out on the street and homeless. None of them say that they want to go all the way up the ladder of success and lose their life to suicide. But God is saying to the body, do you want to be highly favored? This day that we're celebrating Jesus is to understand that he's saying, do you want to be highly favored? To be highly favored means that you said, I'm willing to be different. Like the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all other things shall be added. That means your wife. That means your husband. That means your children. That means your career. That means everything that you are is going to come from him. Where we mess up is that we believe that success comes through our own plan rather than the plan of God. When Jesus was in a manger, don't you know that King Herod, he was after him to destroy his life as a child. But Jesus was the reason because he had the promise of God in his hand. And know what the mother had to do, what God instructed her to do, even when he was in the womb. She said, like with John the Baptist, you're not to do and drink of any strong drink. You're having that child, make sure that child touches nothing that is unclean. Because God is trying to use you, young people. How many of us want to be used by God? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Guess what? And the good thing about God is this. God is an awesome God, but not only is he awesome, he's exciting. He not only brings joy, but he brings you life in it more abundantly. That means everything that you're going to do is going to be better. That means when you hang out now, it's going to be a better time because you're not going to be under the influence of this world, but you're going to have life through Jesus.
Thank you for clicking our app. If you enjoyed and you were blessed by what you heard, come on down to 1850 Elm Street in Manchester, Sundays at 10 o'clock. Same address for Bible studies every Wednesday at 7. May you be blessed. Material things, not just think of that.